There's always good stuff going on around the world. I don't know if you are aware of it, but great stuff's happening. Can I tell you of something that may be happening for Canadians, for givers? Very probable that in the next budget that the Canadian government is going to be extending your charitable gift. Like right now, is it 29%? Is that the magic number? That if you give $100, you get $29 off of your taxes. They are looking at giving that number up to 50%. And the reason the Canadian government is looking to do that is they're actually looking for people to be more giving so that they can be helping the charities so that the government doesn't have to help the charities, which is a good thing. And so I'm going, yay, that's gonna help me even more. So every time I give a dollar, I get 50 cents back. So like I can give $2 now. And I'm going to have to give $1.50 just to give a dollar. Is that right? Is that how it works? Anyways, I like that kind of stuff. Well, I hope you have your Bible tonight. If you do, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4. And want to talk about healing tonight. And then we're going to pray for people who need a breakthrough in their bodies. If you were not here on Sunday, or if you go to another campus, I had the extreme privilege of seeing some crazy good healings in Brazil. So I'll tell the stories of a couple of those for those of you who weren't here on Sunday. But Matthew chapter 4 is a summary passage about the ministry of Jesus. And again, you need to realize that when Matthew is writing his book, he is not trying to be chronological. He's not trying to go, this happened then, and then this happened, and then this happened. Matthew is putting his book together with themes. And he puts things out of place and out of order. For example, most of the parables take place or all talked about at the same time. Most of the healing stories are at the same time. That probably would have been over 2 to 3 years. So it's not a chronological book. And when we get to things like, say, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, Luke has that in the middle of Jesus' life. And we're assuming that because it's near the beginning, that it happened at the beginning. No, it probably was in the middle of the life of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it has this summary of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. By the way, where is he preaching? Synagogues. Okay? I just want you to hold that because we're going to look at another verse in a moment. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is this. God has come to earth. Everything from heaven can now happen on earth. Remember in the Lord's Prayer? On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom. Heaven has come to planet earth because Jesus stepped foot on planet earth. Anything that happens in heaven can and is expected to happen on planet earth. That's the good news. So if there's sickness, good news, no sick people in heaven. If you got financial trouble, good news, nobody's poor in heaven, etc. Having relationship problems, good news, everyone gets along in heaven. That's the kingdom. So that's what Jesus is preaching, good news. And it says that he's healing every disease. Do you see the word every? I'm reading from the NIV. Every disease and sickness among the people. That's everything. Whatever it is, it's getting healed. News about Jesus spread all over Syria. Like this is a nation to the north. And the people brought to Jesus all who were ill with various diseases. Now look at the diseases. Those suffering severe pain, not just pain, severe pain. The demon-possessed. Those having seizures. The paralyzed. And he healed them. How many were healed? All of them. That's what the verse is saying. That any sickness, any disease, everybody who had a need as far away as another nation were coming to Jesus, wherever his meetings went, wherever he was traveling, and they were healed. Verse 25 says, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed Jesus. And it just is basically saying, all the area where the Jewish people lived, all the area where the Samaritans lived, outside of those areas as well, the whole of the Holy Land as we would know it today, people in all of those regions heard what was happening with Jesus and brought extreme people to Jesus who needed healings, and they were all healed. Like, friends, when we get to heaven and get to see the DVDs of the life of Jesus, like as it really was, this is going to be amazing. I was telling some friends last night that there is a church, churches have begun to experiment, multiple campus churches like ours have begun to experiment with holographs, where Steve Long could be preaching here and a holograph of Steve Long is preaching the same sermon live in all the other venues. There's churches that are already doing that, holographs. I'm just fascinated by what that would look like. I was joking with people, like, I could come and read and have devotions with you in your home every morning through holograph. So, anyways, we were talking with John Arnott and said, like, if I said, come Holy Spirit, and I was a holograph, would the Holy Spirit come? And it's like, of course he would. Anyways, it's just fascinating, these kind of things. So here's what I want you to understand, is when you get to heaven, technology is not going to be a problem. We're going to see when we get to heaven stories. We're going to meet people who had extreme sicknesses and diseases, and we're probably going to see it like on the technology that God has in heaven, of just watching these stories and just knowing everything about it, and it's going to be amazing. It's just going to be amazing. Yes? To recap and to hear. Some of you know a gal named Chloe Glasborough. Chloe is the pastor, along with her husband Stu, of Catch the Fire Church in London, England. There's a video about her. And 9 years ago today, she was at a meeting that John and Carol were doing in Bath, England, where my son is a youth pastor at the very church that my son's at. And she was there, and she was having, I'm going to say the word 12, but it may be 20. 20 seizures a day, 12 or 20 seizures a day, plus fibromyalgia, plus a whole bunch of other big, like major issues. And she went, and when John is having words of knowledge and he says, there's someone here with seizures, who is it? And she puts her hand up. She's brought to the front by her husband, a frail young lady in her 20s. You can imagine what 12 or 20 seizures a day is going to do for your emotional well-being, your physical well-being, all of those kind of things. And she was instantly healed by the Holy Spirit, just completely better. No wonder she's following John and Carol everywhere they go when they go to Europe. And her and her husband are just doing an amazing job. If you get to go to Catch the Fire London, it's a congregation like 250 people now after 2 years, just doing amazing. They feed 40,000 children every week in northern Kenya. 40,000 children a week are being fed through their ministry. Just great, great things. But 9 years ago today, she had a dramatic miracle. I was talking to, Sue, is it Hillary Willoughby that was in the car accident? Hillary. Some of you know Jillian and Hillary that are our twins, part of our congregation. And Hillary, 20 years ago now, a long time ago, was in a car accident. I was talking to her I was talking to her on Saturday at Bill Raycroft's funeral. We were just reminiscing about a Sunday afternoon in this church. And for those of you who don't know Hillary's story, she was in a car accident, not her fault. She was lost mobility, and she was either in a wheelchair or a scooter. And so when I came to this church, that's how I knew Hillary. She's in a wheelchair or a scooter. She would have sometimes like a walker kind of thing, and she could move her feet like sitting down, but she could not. She could stand for like 2 minutes. She could not walk. She couldn't move. And it's like 7 years, Bill, 9 years, something like that. It was a long time that she has not seen any change, and people have prayed for her. And on a Sunday morning, we were saying goodbye to Mark and Jane Burlinson. Some of you remember Mark and Jane Burlinson, used to be pastors here, English couple. They were leaving to join Jack Frost ministry. And we had a goodbye in the room back here before it was the chapel room. And we had coffee and tea and all those kind of things. Duncan Smith had just been hired to replace Mark Burlinson. And Mark looked after our bookstore and was helping on the pastoral team. Duncan was being hired to look after the bookstore and be part of our pastoral team. And Duncan doesn't know anything, and he's one of the last people to leave, and there's like 10 people in the building. And right about here, as they're walking out of that room, Duncan says something to Hillary, such as, "Did you hear about Carl who got healed last week?" And some of you were here on a Sunday night, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago now, when a gentleman who had had 19 surgeries on his knees and had no cartilage at all in his knees was sitting right where you are, John, except he was in a wheelchair. And this man, as it turned out, is very famous. He was the computer programmer that wrote the launch code for all of the NASA Apollo space missions. He wrote the computer program that put those puppies up into space. And he's had 19 knee surgeries and has no cartilage left between his femur and his leg. He's no cartilage in his knees. He cannot walk. There's nothing to join the bones together other than flesh that's holding it there. So his leg just wobbles like this. There's nothing holding it together. And he'd heard, he was at the evening meeting. He was living in, has a house in Detroit, and he came here for Toronto for the weekend. He was right over there, and long story short, but he comes up to the front. Ed Croker from our prayer ministry team ministered to him while we were having group ministry. Everyone pray for someone around you, all that kind of stuff. Ed prayed for him, and the power of the Holy Spirit went into this guy's body. And now I'm saying, who's feeling better? And in right about here, in his wheelchair, he puts his hand up. He's a Caucasian man. He had white bandages wrapped around his arms. And he said, "There's no pain in my arms." And it's like, okay, so why do you have towels wrapped around? And what he shared was that he's a hemophiliac. He bleeds very easily. And because he has no cartilage in his knee, it is impossible for him to get from his wheelchair to his bed, from his wheelchair to anywhere. And even though he has a full-time nurse, he falls regularly and bleeds and just gets bruises and all that kind of stuff. And so he takes the towels off, white towels, and they're covered in blood. And his arm is purple from bruising. And he says, "There's no pain." And as he did that, all of a sudden, and I believe that we have this on film, I have not watched it recently, so I can't remember, but all of a sudden, all of the open sores just went and scabs just instantly covered them all up. And it was like, oh my goodness. Like, this was right here. And it was like, oh my, he's telling us these things, and no one knows this man, we've never seen him before. And then he says, "When Ed prayed for me, I was able to stand." And it's like, okay, so what's wrong? And then he says 19 surgeries, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, oh my goodness. And so now he's sitting in his wheelchair, and it's like, okay, Ed, get another guy. And we got him to stand, again, with two guys holding on to him. And we said, "What are you feeling?" And he goes, "I'm feeling good." And we had two guys hold him and had him walk over to where his nurse was. So he's going to sit, John, where you are. His wheelchair was going to park. And when he's been walked like this, and he's walking with the help of two big guys. When he got to here, this is all on video, he goes like this, knocks the guys off, and proceeds to walk down the aisle. And it was like, I don't know what happened to me, but it didn't dawn on me that a great miracle is taking place. Because I'm now interviewing the next person as Carl is walking up, coming down over here. Some of you remember Derek Bishop, who used to be one of our cell leaders who became a pastor in Whitby. Derek has the other microphone, and he basically interrupts me, and he goes over and catches Carl coming back down, and it's like, "Carl, what's going on?" The camera guy was avoiding me as well. You just hear my voice interviewing the next person. Meanwhile, the cameraman and everyone else is watching Carl and going, "This is amazing." Carl got onto the platform and did a jig. Owen Herder was our worship leader that night. If you remember Owen, he used to like doing little Irish jigs. I don't know why, but he did. And so Carl's up on here, a man in his 80s, 19 knee operations, no cartilage, and dancing. And it was like, oh my goodness. Well, when Duncan says to Hillary, "Did you hear about Carl?" She goes, "Yes, I did. I was there. I saw it." And Duncan says to her, "Well, why are you in your wheelchair?" And she said something like this, "Well, God's working on my character." There's a reason why I'm not well yet. And Duncan recognized that that was a legitimate desire of her to try to hear what happened. Why was she in this case? She's legitimately trying to figure out, I've been prayed for 7 years. It must be because God's still working on me. There's areas of my life that aren't good enough yet. And when those things are good enough, I'll be healed. But it's a lie. And Duncan, a brave, bold Englishman that doesn't know her yet and doesn't really know anybody, and who cares if he does, he's still going to say it. He said, that's a lie. You need to renounce that. And she said she was a little taken back by what Duncan was saying. She'd never had a conversation with Duncan before. And he explained to her that if she's believed a lie, that her healing is postponed until she's better. And what's the grade that you're going to be better, that it's never going to happen. And in her spirit, even though people are praying, something is just shut down that stops the prayers because she doesn't have expectation. And so anyway, she repents and he says, stand. And so she pushed herself up from the wheelchair, right about here. Pushed herself up and he said, walk. And she started walking, and apparently before she got to the post, she was running. Like, there's like five people left in the building seeing this. And what Hillary did was she phoned her mom and dad, who live in Milton, phoned them and said, our car is broken, you need to come and get us. A lie, but anyways, we forgive her for saying that. And her mom and dad came like a half an hour, 45 minutes later to get her, and she walked to her parents' car. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus was doing miracles, it was those things. Every single day it would appear. In fact, if you take all the healing stories of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see 1/3 of your New Testament of the Gospels is going to be healing stories. 1/3 of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 18 stories alone in Luke's Gospel of healing stories. If you use the math, and I know it's not correct, but if you say that 1/3 of Jesus' time was healing, that's a lot of time. If he works an 8-hour day, which he didn't, that's 2.5 hours every day of a healing service. If he worked 10 hours, that's 3 hours every day that Jesus was healing the sick. If he worked a 12-hour day, which is probably closer to the norm of what people in Middle Eastern cultures would work, 12 hours every day. If it's that, then that means that 4 hours of every day Jesus was spent healing people. What do you think God's will is if Jesus only did his Father's will? It's healing, isn't it? So one more passage. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 53. Verse 54, it says, coming to his hometown. Jesus coming to his hometown. To Nazareth. He began to teach the people in their synagogue. Is that what he's been doing everywhere else? In a synagogue? Yes. What's he been teaching people about? Kingdom of God. He's preaching the very same sermon. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom? And these miraculous powers, they ask, because they're hearing about all the stories. They're hearing the testimonies. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Potentially, his brothers and sisters are in the synagogue as he's saying that, and they're pointing them out. Aren't his sisters here with us? Where did this man get all these things? What does it mean by things? What do you think? Power? Anointing? Authority? Knowledge? Wisdom? These people are going, this is not the little boy who grew up in this church. This isn't the boy that at age 30 left our church to go and have an itinerant ministry. And Jesus has been away maybe a year, year and a half. So he's been at this church, the very same synagogue, since he's about 5. So for 25 years he's been there and has sat there, and his brothers and sisters and mother potentially are in the meeting. And he's teaching and telling testimonies of what's been going on, and people have read the newspapers and seen the internet reports and all that kind of stuff, whatever they had those days. And the people are going, this is not the same guy that we know. And then it says this in verse 57, and they took offense at him. They took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and only in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So was Jesus the problem? Jesus was not the problem, was he? What was the problem? The faith of the people, the expectation, their understanding. This is normal, friends. I understand this concept. So when Steve Long goes to Brazil, I don't know anybody that I'm going to in the churches. One church I'd been to before, but I don't remember who I'd prayed for before. I knew a couple of the pastors and recognized a few faces. But I didn't know anybody in these two of the places. And they've all been told, they've had video announcements for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, how they do that, to say that Pastor Steve Long from Toronto is going to be coming and he's going to do a miracle service. Well, they didn't tell me I was doing a miracle service, but that's what they've announced. And Steve Long does miracles and healings. And so when the people come, what are they expecting? They're expecting miracles and healing. And what did they get? They got miracles and healing. You understand that? That's one of the reasons why we bring guest speakers all the time and say they have a healing ministry, they have a prophetic ministry, so that you don't know them, they don't know you, and your expectation is high. Your expectation for Steve Long is, it's maybe not down here, but it's not the same place as a David Hogan is, or if we had a Benny Hinn. Like if Benny Hinn was here tonight, we'd be full, wouldn't we? And there would be a buzz in the room. On the cruise ship, when the staff on the cruise ship heard that Reinhard Bonnke was on the ship, because a whole bunch of them are Africans, word got around the staff very quickly, and all sorts of people who'd never heard of Reinhard Bonnke on the staff of the ship showed up for the meetings when Reinhard spoke. Like there was 25 of them pretty well at every meeting, and at one of those meetings, they came for Heidi Baker as well. They heard about Heidi Baker, and they're all standing at the back, and they're getting saved. They're putting their hands up. They're getting full of the Holy Spirit. We had a little rule that you're not allowed to pray for the people to be filled with the Holy Spirit in public areas, like stay in the auditorium. Don't pray for people out there. But the staff are going, pray for us, and they're outside, and they don't know our rules, and they're falling over, and it's like, oh my goodness. Anyways, it was quite interesting. But the reputation, the expectation was high. Does that make sense? So when Jesus was ministering, was it Jesus that was doing all the healings? It was the Holy Spirit in him, wasn't it? It was the same Holy Spirit that I carry, that you carry, that we all carry, that Jesus had. So what was the difference why there was such great miracles? Expectations part of it? Can I give you another one? Is that Jesus didn't believe any of the lies that Satan was whispering. This is a problem when Steve Long goes to pray for somebody. This is probably a problem when any of you go to pray for someone. You get a little voice that says, not this one. This one's a hard one. This one can't get healed. This one's been prayed for all sorts of times and nothing's happened, so don't expect anything to happen for yourself. There's a bombardment of lies that come to the person who's going to do the ministry. How many of you experience that? You get lies coming to you. Give up, don't even bother, all that kind of stuff. I am so glad that the Holy Spirit also teaches and talks. So last Sunday I was telling people, I'm wearing a brand new pair of shoes. I don't know if you can see it. $160 or something like that. So nice. There's so much leather in Brazil because they're eating all the inside of the cow that they have leftover skins. Is that right, Chascarias? Mr. Brazil? Yes? Yes. Stand up, Mr. Brazil. So everyone, because just in case we need confirmation, this man will know. So amazing deals on shoes in Brazil. So I told this story on Sunday. I'm in a nice men's shop at a mall right across from our hotel. Gilberto and I are there, and I'm taking my time buying shoes because we don't have to hurry, and I'm trying on a number of different pairs of shoes, and this is one of them. I've chosen two pairs, this one and a casual pair as well. I'm on my iPhone playing solitaire, waiting for Gilberto to finish off what shoes he's going to get, and a couple walk by me in their probably early 30s, and the guy has one of those casts that goes from just below his knee all the way down. It's like a boot cast. And as he's walking, he's going like this. Like you can see he's in pain as he's walking. And as he's walking by, I don't even look at him. A voice says to me, "This one will be easy." And I look up and see this guy walking by. Now, what would you do? You're in a shoe shop. You bought your shoes. You're playing on your phone, click, 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 playing solitaire. And the Holy Spirit says, "This one will be easy." You look up, and here's a guy who's got a boot on, a cast boot. What would you do? Go for it, yeah. I don't always do that, but this time I did. And I got Gilberto, who's one of the cell leaders at our church, and he speaks Portuguese, obviously, and I said, "Gilberto, help me here." And I went over and I said, "Excuse me, sir, can you tell me what happened?" And I'm talking not loud, but loud enough that the other people in the shop can hear. There's two salesmen, and they both speak English, and they're both paying attention to us because we're spending money. Not just looking at shoes, but we're spending money. There's a gentleman in a white shirt, white tie, white belt, white trousers, white shoes, who's buying more white shoes, and he's a doctor. There is another young guy that is trying on or looking at some shoes. He's just browsing. I think his girlfriend was in another shop, And then there's this young couple that have just walked in, Gilberto and myself, and we find out that he's had a sports injury of some sort, probably soccer, and his Achilles, ankle, tendons, all those kind of things have been ruptured, and he's in excruciating pain is what he says. And I said to him, "I'm a follower of Jesus. My hobby is healing people. Can I heal you for free?" And he goes, "Yes, you can." And he sat down, and I sat down beside him, and he put his leg up onto my leg. So I don't know. He's probably been to church before and knew what to do. So the leg's right there. I put my hand on his cast, and I said, "Say this with me." And so it's being said in English so that everyone who speaks English can hear it, and then it's being translated to Portuguese so that everyone can hear it. And this guy is saying it in Portuguese, and so some of the guys are hearing the prayer three times. "My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now." And when he finishes and says, "Now, I do my 1, 2, 3. Holy Spirit, please come now." And I said to him, "How about you get up and check?" And he starts to walk, and you can tell when someone's being healed because all of a sudden they stop and now they're, you know, like they're looking for the pain and there is no pain. And he's going, "There's no pain." And he starts walking and he's moving faster on his boot. And the doctor is looking at me going, "Okay, what just happened?" It was so fun to see the Holy Spirit show that quick. I told people on Sunday of two other stories, and I'll tell them to you again. My apologies for those of you who are here Sunday. In the church in Curitiba. Have you been to Curitiba? Have you been to the Four Square Church, the fourth Four Square Church, Pastor Augustus? Amazing church. My second time to be there, John Art's been there, Bruno's been there, Ramesh has been there, Heidi Baker's been there, Randy Clark's been there. It's a Holy Spirit church. Just the presence of God is amazing. Worship, amazing. And as worship's on, and they're doing different things, and it's my turn getting ready to come up to do, and I'm going to do healing at the very beginning because they've told me we advertised healing and miracles. It's like, okay, we'll start with that. And off to the side, sort of where the worship team sit over here, is a gal in a wheelchair. Turns out she's 22 years of age. She's very overweight. And when she was 15, she was hit by a car. She's walking on a street. She's now paralyzed from her armpits down. So from her breasts down, she's paralyzed, has no feeling. She's been like that for 7 years. She's given up hope of God. She's stopped going to church. She is given up on getting married. She's given up on life. She's put weight on. Obviously, she can't exercise. And she's been brought to the meeting by a couple friends because there's miracles going to take place. And I've felt the Holy Spirit say, "Focus on her." And so while everyone's praying for each other, I'm over there and ministering to her. They gave me a little 17, 18-year-old girl to be my translator for the ministry time. And so we're praying, we're talking. And God was so gracious. The Holy Spirit came on this girl. You could see her eyelashes beginning. You could see the presence of God come on her face, just like many of you are used to seeing when you pray for someone. You can just see God showing up. And she's going, and she's going, "It's hot. There's heat all over my body. I can feel," she says, "I can feel everything. I can feel my toes. I can feel my hips." And feeling came through her whole body. She hasn't felt anything for 7 years. And it was just amazing to see God show up and do that kind of thing. We tried to get her to stand up. She was just too heavy for us to get her to stand. There was a couple guys, and it was just sort of awkward, the size of the wheelchair and just how the wheelchair was. We really couldn't get a good grip, as it were, to get her to stand. And everyone's watching, and she's a little embarrassed, what's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. And we prayed for her, and I needed to go back to the meeting for everybody and just sort of keep the meeting going, as it were, was I was instead of just focusing on this one gal. And I noticed that as we pushed in a little bit more, she does have some guys who have helped her stand up, and she's going for it. And it was like God showed up and brought healing. She was not walking at the end of the meeting. She got halfway there, which is good. I also told the story on Sunday of even a more spectacular miracle on the Sunday night. There's a man I'd saw on the Saturday, prayed for him a little bit, and he walked in in the evening down the aisle with crutches, and he has a degenerative bone disease, and his shoulders were like this, and his hip was like this, and his hands were gnarled, and he's got crutches, and he's like this with his crutches down the aisle. You can't help but notice a person like this. And turns out he's a member of the church. He's a regular attender. And while I see him walking into his seat, one of the pastors comes over and says, "See that man? He's a faithful man in our church. Can you pray for him at the end of the meeting?" And it's like, we are going to do better than that. We're going to start right now. And at the very beginning of the healing, we had him, and we had people around him and just start soaking him and praying for him. When they had fire tunnels, I skipped the fire tunnels. I went straight to him, prayed with him, had my little Portuguese girl with me again, petite little girl, and we started in, and like family and friends are gathering. There's probably about 25 people watching, and after a half an hour, his shoulders are absolutely straight. His hip is out a tiny little bit, maybe an inch. He was doing deep knee bends, no crutches. He was able to walk with no crutches. It was amazing. Yes? You don't have to clap. I'm just... God showed up. So here's my point in all these stories. Here's my point in these stories. It's not me. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit that heals. Yes? Jesus healed everybody. That is God's will, isn't it? Because Jesus only did what the Father's will is. So for those of us that have challenges, my eyesight is getting worse. I just got new glasses. I don't know if you noticed I have new glasses, but I have new glasses. And one of the reasons I have new glasses is my eyes have degenerated in the last 3 years by 10%. That's not good. I already had poor eyesight to begin with. I'm good back here. Well, I have bifocals or whatever you call these things that... So if I go like this, some of you are blurry and some of you I can see. But up here, I couldn't see very well. And I've got a giant print Bible. And I was still having struggles close in. And... So like Steve Long needs a miracle in his eyes. And some of you have sicknesses and diseases you've had for a long time. What are the issues that are stopping us from getting our breakthroughs? That's what I want to talk about tonight, and I'm pretty well done. Our issues usually are us. Our problem is more us. It's not the person ministering to us. It's not the problem of the Holy Spirit in that person who's laying hands on us. Our issues often are our own unbelief. That passage where it says that Jesus in his own village, in his own hometown, he couldn't do miracles because the people just didn't think that it could be possible. The people took offense that Jesus has this big ministry, and how can he have a big ministry? He's just like, we know who he is. He's just an ordinary guy. But that was the whole point, wasn't it? It's the Holy Spirit. It is an ordinary guy, but it's the Holy Spirit doing the ministry. So your and my challenge is that when people pray for us, is to say, Holy Spirit, I do believe. Holy Spirit, it is possible. And like, here's the challenge. Let's say that that Margie prays for someone tonight, and let's say she's praying for this lady, and Margie's prayed for this lady 17 times already. What's our challenge when we've had the same person pray for us? Well, they don't have the anointing. So is that true or is that not true? It's the Holy Spirit that does the ministry, isn't it? And one of our challenges is just what we think about others, what we think about ourselves. And can I encourage you that when we're praying for you tonight and lies are coming to you, I'm not good enough. God's working on my character. Everyone has to be sick for something. Everyone's going to die sooner or later, and so this is going to be helping me die. Whatever that lies are, it's not God's time. Whatever the lies are, they are lies. They are unbelief. They are specifically designed to sound right, but they're wrong. They're designed to stop your healing coming to you. And when Jesus was ministering, here's my last point. When Jesus was ministering and everybody in the crowd was healed, the Holy Spirit was able to overcome all of the unbelief. But it would seem like the people who came to the meetings, they came because they expected. You don't travel from Syria into Galilee bringing a sick friend if you don't think it's possible, do you? If you're traveling to see Jesus, and that's what these passages are saying, that people came to his meetings, if you come to a healing service, you're coming with an expectation, aren't you? Even if it's a little bit, and that's all you need is a little bit. The challenge for Steve Long and for all of us is it's the same prayer ministry team, people that are praying for me week after week. It's the same church that I've been, it's the same pastors that have prayed for me. And after a while, we begin to take offense. We begin to think, well, I'll wait for the guest speaker. And we do bring in, the reason we bring in guest speakers is to give us a little kick, because they don't know you, they don't know your unbelief, they don't know your history. They're assuming you're a saint. That's the way it is when I preach in other churches. I don't know anybody, I assume everybody's godly. If they came to hear Steve Long, they must be a good person. And my challenge when I'm praying for some of you is I know your history. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, sometimes I know some of your history, your good, bad, and ugly. And so, does that affect how I pray? Of course it does. I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, please don't heal this person because I don't say that. Are you getting my point, friends? We need to be pushing in and expecting that it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that does the healing, regardless of who the prayer is, regardless of what my sickness is. The Holy Spirit is able to heal every sickness, every disease, including severe things. Yes? And can I just encourage you, we have had some severe illnesses and diseases healed in this church. We have had some spectacular healings take place in this church. We've had many, many people healed from cancers. We've had two or three people from AIDS that have had blood tests to say that they've been free from AIDS. We've got befores and afters. We've had people get out of wheelchairs in this church. I can remember once when Cobus Van Rensburg was here a number of years ago. He had a little kid's wading pool on the platform. How many of you heard that night? And it was like three people in wheelchairs we brought their wheelchairs up over there. They were pushed along, and he had everyone who had sickness just walk through the water. And the people in the wheelchairs, we got them out, and they put their feet in, and three people in wheelchairs did not need their wheelchairs afterwards. Like right on our stage, and it's like, oh my goodness, how does this happen in a kid's wading pool? And his whole point was, remember when the waters were stirred by the angels and people were healed? Well, the word angel also means messenger. The Greek word angel is also the word messenger. And he says, well, I'm a messenger from Jesus, and he messed up the water. And it's like, good enough for me, and we're in. And people had faith for that. Does that make sense? So we're going to pray for people right now. And I want you to just forget about all the times that you haven't been healed. Forget all about the people who prayed for you 100 times and it hasn't worked. It can work, and it can work tonight. Is that all right? So if you have pain or sickness, can I please get you to stand up? If you're battling pain, you're battling sickness and saying, I don't want this anymore, please stand up. And those of you that are in good health, we're going to get you to be the prayer team tonight. So here's what we do. For those of you on Friday nights that are here on a regular basis, the way we do this to make sure that everyone gets covered, those of you standing, put your hand up. Those of you seated, I would like each of you to go to one person, and when, for example, you come to Margie, when you get to Margie, you hold her hand and pull her hand down, and then we know whose hands are still left, okay? So go find someone, please. Those of you seated, get up, move around, find one person, pull their hand down, one-on-one. If you're a guest, doesn't matter. We'd love to have you help. It is not you that's going to heal people. It's going to be the Spirit of God. You and I cannot heal anybody. So we have like two or three hands still over here, four people with hands up over here. There's, okay, do we have people at the back? There's a couple people at the back still. There's like four people over here. There's a lady right in the middle over here. If some of you can gang up, like if you're close enough to go one person to go to two people, if you don't mind doubling up. Keep your hand up high if no one's come to you. Do you two girls mind praying for each other? Would that be all right? The folks, we need a couple more volunteers to go back over here. So if there's like two of you praying for one person, can one of you just skip out and go and find someone? Great. There's people coming. Andrew, people right behind you coming to you. Good. I need one lady to come up here. Is there a lady that's not ministering that can come up here? Is there a lady that's not ministering? Can I get one of you? Can I get you? Yeah? You're going to be praying for Sue? She's getting healed right now. Okay, keep going then. All right. There we go. Good. You got both of these girls. Is that all right? All righty. I think we got most people. There's one person over here still that has their hand up. Is there someone that can go to this lady? Is there someone? Are there two of you together praying for her? Can I get one of you to go to that lady over there? Would that be all right? You don't have to know her. Just this one right here. Yep, gal in the yellow. Great. Alrighty, here's what I'd like you to do. Ask the person, where's the sickness? Where's the pain? Just get a quick little report. Go. 10 seconds. You're praying for my knees. You're praying for my throat. You're praying for asthma. You're praying for whatever. For those of you at home, we're going to pray for you, and I'm going to be the one praying for you. Thank you, by the way, for joining us tonight. Here's what I'd like you to do now. If it is appropriate to put your hand right on that spot, if it's appropriate for you to just lay the anointing right on that spot, go ahead. If not, just hold their hand or put your hand on their shoulder. And I would like you to just pray and say, Holy Spirit, come right now. And just pray with some gusto. Pray with some boldness. Be led by the Holy Spirit as you pray. I don't care if you get a little bit loud. You just pray as led by the Holy Spirit and say, Father, my friend has had this problem far too long. It needs to go tonight. All that pain needs to leave their body right now. And for those of you at home, we just declare that over you. Doesn't matter how long you've had your problem. It can be healed tonight by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It can be healed tonight by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter your weight, your nationality. None of those things matter because it's about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is about the will of God. God's will, as demonstrated by Jesus in this story. And there's 7 stories where Jesus healed everybody. This is one of them. And every person, including severe cases, were healed. Not by 3 prayers, by 1 prayer. So Holy Spirit, we're asking for everybody that's joining us in this room and at home. Father, we're asking for a visitation of the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, would you rush into people's bodies? May the anointing burn up sickness and pain. May the anointing go to bones and bring restoration. May the anointing go to people's blood and bring restoration. May the anointing go to our skin and bring restoration. May the anointing go inside every organ that we have and bring restoration. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit go into our brain and rewire any things that are not wired right. All of the electrical part of our body. Every problem that people have, from our hair, the hair in our head, to the toenails at the end of our feet. Father, we're asking for the anointing to come and visit each person in this room tonight. Father, would you come and bring great healing into people's bodies? Father, would you begin to just lift off sicknesses, diseases? They leave. They go to the cross right now. Father, we thank you that not just the anointing brings our healing, but Jesus himself, while he was dying on the cross, while he was being tortured, was even more so adding to our healing. He was paying the price. By his stripes, the Bible says, through the torture that was happening to him, by his stripes, we are healed. Matthew, when he's writing in Matthew chapter 8, quotes this verse as another reason, not just about the anointing, not just about the will of God, but what Jesus did. What Jesus did was pay for our healing. And so, Father, we're asking for cleansing to come. Cleansing. Father, if it's headaches, if it's body aches, if it's toothaches, whatever the kind of aches there are, the peace of God comes into our bodies in Jesus' name. Wholeness comes. Restoration comes. Hope comes. Father, we're asking for every lie that's come into our mind that says it can't happen, it won't happen. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen through this person who's ministering to me. Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to come. Take us out of unbelief. Take us into hope. Take us into the will of God. Father, we thank you that the kingdom of God is good news. Heaven has come to earth. What happens in heaven, Jesus said, pray this way, on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Father, we say that for every person today, on earth in their body, as it is in heaven. On earth, in their body, on planet earth, as it is in heaven. No sickness, Father, is allowed to be on planet earth when heaven comes. So, Father, come, bring heaven into their bodies right now. John Arnott has a little saying where he has us put our hands up into the heavens, grab some of heaven and put it on our own body. So if that's you, you need something, just reach into heaven and bring heaven onto your body and just take some of that heaven and put it onto your eyes, put it onto your lungs, put it onto your knees, put it onto wherever you need it. Father, would you come, 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 come. And Father, may there be great miracles that take place tonight in this room. And for those of you at home, in your living room, in your office, wherever you are, watching on an iPad, watching on your laptop, Holy Spirit, come, come. All righty, we're at my favorite part now. Can I get you to check yourself, tell your friend if something's happened, if you felt heat, if you felt tingling, if you felt cold, if you felt bumps beginning to happen, if you felt peace beginning to come, if you feel less pain, if you're feeling, I can do this, I have greater mobility. If you're feeling something, tell the person who ministered to you. Give them encouragement and say, you did good. The Holy Spirit, your prayers were great. Okay, now I need to know what was happening. How many of you in this room are a little bit better because of the prayer of your friends? Hands up. A little bit better or a lot better? Hands up. A little bit better or a lot better? Very good. Can I get everybody who put your hand up to come up here and give a 5-second story? Can I get everyone to put their hand up a little bit? So we're not saying you're necessarily completely healed. We're going to push in though. So if you put your hand up, you're a little bit better or a lot better. Can I get you to come on up to the front and we're just going to get like real quick little story. What's changed? So John, what's changed?
I'm seeing a little better and my knees feel better.
Okay, very good. So what percentage would be better for your eyes?
It's hard to say because I'm not reading anything right now, but they're not as blurry as what they
not
were.
Not as blurry, okay. Yeah. And your knees?
And my knees, they're not hurting.
Not hurting at all. Yeah. That's good. That's very, very good. Father, let's stretch our hands towards John. How many of you have eye problems like Steve Long and John? How many of you are wearing glasses, contacts? Okay. Father, we're asking for John. We're asking, Father, that all the blurriness would go. For John and everyone else in this room, for Steve Long included, Father, may our church be one of the few churches in the world where nobody has contacts, nobody has glasses. Father, may we be known as a church that if you walk in, your eyes get healed. Daddy, that would be an amazing thing. We'd have people, Father, from Syria that would come. We'd have people from America come. We'd have people from Toronto come. So, Daddy, come and fix his eyes in Jesus' name. Any change?
No, they feel good. Feel good, and they look, seems clear, so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. What happened with you? What changed?
Okay, what changed? First, I saw fire flowing from above to my head, and I felt like I was shivering, and then I felt this heaviness coming off from me.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I still feel the shivering.
You still feel the Holy Spirit with you. Well, Holy Spirit, just keep coming. Holy Spirit, is there a guy that can be a catcher? Is there a young guy that can be a catcher? Thank you, sir. Run over here. Great. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Thanks. Just give her more, Daddy, right now. Give her more. Holy Spirit goes deep with her, Father, right now. Come. 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 Keep coming, Holy Spirit. What happened with you?
I had so much pain on my neck and the back. Yes. And this side was ears. And this side started just yesterday.
Okay.
And then my friend prayed over me and the Holy Spirit came and I don't have much pain anymore.
Don't have much pain. So there's just a tiny little bit or is there no pain?
85% is gone.
Okay, very, very good. 85% gone. So that would mean the last 15 should be easy. So Father, we're asking for the pain in her shoulders to completely go. Completely goes, Father, in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, come into her body. There's a guy behind you as well. Spirit of God, come. Go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper. We'll check with you in a minute. Sue, what happened with you?
Tonight, my whole neck and my shoulders and my arms and my hands are all hurting. And when they prayed, it's noticeably better.
Okay. So improving. Yeah, let's stretch our hands towards Sue. Father, we thank you for an ease that's come. And Daddy, we're asking that all the stuff, whatever's the problem, it goes in Jesus' name. It goes. Amen. Healing comes. Restoration comes. Anointing of the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name. What happened with you?
Oh, there was a lady and she, I have Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And she went through my, down here and down my back.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was, it's all gone.
It's all gone. You have pain in your back and it's all gone.
It's gone.
And you also have Alzheimer's. And did you feel a change there?
A little bit.
Yeah. How would you know if there's a change?
Well, you always have a headache.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can I tell you a story? We had a gentleman that visited our church from Glasgow, Elam, in Glasgow, Scotland. And his name was Bill. I've met this man several times. He had severe Alzheimer's at his in his body, so much so that if you took him outside his house, turned him around, and said, "Where do you live?" he would not know. He didn't recognize his wife. He didn't recognize anybody in his family. That's how severe it was. His wife brought him to church every Sunday, and every Sunday, the deacons of the church would pray for him before the morning meeting. They would lay hands on him every week. And one Sunday, God showed up, and Bill was completely healed, and he went and sat down in the meeting, and he goes, "Look at all these newcomers today," not knowing that it's like 5 years later, and the church is growing, and he's going, "This is amazing." And like he was completely healed, like absolutely restored in one prayer. Isn't that amazing? He shared that story at this church here. So Father, we're asking that every symptom of Alzheimer's would leave. No headaches, no confusion, a clear mind. Father, we bless this lady. Thank you for years and years for Mrs. Dick, that she's been faithful to you and serving you. And Daddy, we're asking for a physical reward to come her way. Thank you that headaches have gone. Thank you that her back is better. And Daddy, we're asking that Alzheimer's would be a thing of the past. Be a thing of the past in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Good. You're very welcome.
I come from Scotland.
I know you come from Scotland. I know. I guessed by your accent. What happened with you?
Yes, I'm sorry. I have partial denture, and the rest of my teeth, they're bad, and this underside was just hurting. I am believing God for a creative miracle that my whole mouth, I would get new teeth top and bottom. So when he prayed, the pain in the old tooth just disappeared, so I don't have pain anymore, but I'm going home with my teeth, full teeth top and bottom.
Amen. Well, Father, we're asking that you would fix any of those teeth that have cavities, that have pain, any of the teeth that are even misaligned. This is one of the things, isn't it? Like, do you remember when we were having gold teeth? And just crazy, crazy, crazy nights. Probably about 100 nights of gold teeth happening and just amazing things. And it was like teeth were being straightened, gaps that people had between teeth were being like disappearing. I don't know how those things happen, if teeth are growing or the space, I don't know how those things happen, but it was crazy things. And I would say that that was one of the, that was probably the time that we were mocked the most by Christians. Because it doesn't make sense, does it? Why would you get prayer? Why would Jesus straighten your teeth? And it's like, well, why wouldn't he want to do that? But sometimes we just have no faith for things, do we? So Father, we're asking that, thank you for the, all the pain is gone. And Daddy, we're asking for all these teeth to be whitened, to be straightened, to be in perfect chomping condition so that she can eat the thickest steak with no problems. No problems with cold, with no kind of cavities, nothing like that, Father. Would you restore all of her teeth? Thank you that she has faith for that. Thank you that she has an expectation for that. Holy Spirit, come. What are you feeling right now?
I'm not feeling anything right now, but I know that okay. God put new teeth. Even if it doesn't come right now, it's there.
Okay. All right. So you need to go and into the ladies' bathroom and take a look at your teeth and just see what happened.
No, it's just that I wear partial denture in the front, so I need a creative.
Okay, I get you. Okay, I missed that. Okay. So some of her teeth aren't really her teeth. They're rented teeth. So Daddy, you can bring new teeth into her mouth. And if you, I don't know if he, while you're sleeping, fills the gaps, or if he just makes those ones full-time teeth, I don't know. But Father, somehow, would you give her all of her teeth back? All of her teeth back. We did have people that were missing teeth, have a teeth came back.
Yeah.
I don't know if we still have it, but we used to have a DVD in the bookstore. Sorry, not DVD, video. We don't sell videos anymore. But it was like an hour of teeth testimonies, one after the other, all documented. We didn't put anyone on the video that didn't have paperwork from their dentist to say that something had happened.
Go for the gold.
Gold for the gold. That's what it was called. Go for the gold. If you go on YouTube, you may be able to find that. Amen. Was there anyone else? One more? Millicent?
Well, the thing is, I don't know what it is. Like in the summer, my legs, because I do a lot of walking, my legs sometimes swell up. And this evening, just before I came, it's like I just felt like my calves were really, like they were fat.
We saw them; they were huge.
It's like, and my ankles were swollen, my toes were swollen.
They are no longer swollen.
And it's just like, yeah, they started praying for me, and it's all gone down.
Yeah,
so I didn't even know what was going on, but it was
it's considerable.
So you were praying for her? What were you seeing? What were you sensing?
Well, I just said, Dad, she's your daughter. You love her. Do it. That's all. It's all simple.
I was like, what's going on with me? I'm going to have to go to my doctor and figure out what's going on, what's wrong, because having swollen fat legs is not exactly okay. Very good.
Very good. Well, let's pray one more time. Can we do that? If you have any kind of problems, just put your own hand wherever you need that healing. I don't know if you've heard me tell this story, but probably the most spectacular healing that I ever saw was an accident. I was in Sudan with Brian Girdwood, who's one of the guys from our Mississauga campus. He takes pictures a lot. You'll see him at our conferences taking pictures. And Brian and I were there. We have a lady from our church that started an orphanage with Roland and Heidi Baker in a refugee camp in Sudan. We have done 3 days of public meetings. 99% of the people are Muslims. And we've done three public meetings in an area where we're not supposed to do that. There's no police. There's no the military doesn't come in. It's a rough refugee camp and strongest guy wins kind of thing. And we are feeding people. We're about to feed people a burger and Pepsi. And we've got lots of food. And just as I was about to wrap the meeting up in a large, large open field, I feel the Holy Spirit say, remind people who haven't had their healing yet that the 10 lepers were healed going somewhere. And I just reminded people. I told them that story. And I said, okay, one more prayer before we have our burger and Pepsi and the riot starts, because there was going to be a riot just because of people wanting food. And I said, just put your hand wherever you need it. And almost instantly, there was a scream from behind me. And we had a covered tent for the senior ladies to be able to sit in, because this is hot Sudan, 45 degrees, 50 degrees Celsius, just hot, hot, hot. And behind me is a scream. And everybody who was healed, they came to the microphone, and they would tell people what Jesus has just done. They were very proud to say, Jesus just healed me. And this lady comes and says that since she was like three, do you remember we had Bob Tacky talk about water spirits, aqua spirits? This lady, when she was three, was blinded from water. And somehow when she was playing in water, she lost her eyesight, and she's been blind, and now she was in her 60s, 70s, something like that. And when she put her hand on her eyes, both eyes opened completely clear. And it was just sort of like a little bit of the Holy Spirit saying, just before you give thanks for the food, let's pray one more time. So I just felt the Holy Spirit say that again. Let's pray one more time. So put your hand where you need the healing. So Holy Spirit, we're asking for you to come and visit our bodies. Daddy, we know that there is nothing too hard for you. You're not the problem. The anointing is not the problem. Holy Spirit, we recognize that it could be us. It also could be a lot of demonic stuff against us. It could be issues in our heart that we haven't resolved yet. But Daddy, we know that the anointing can overpower all of those kind of things. Jesus didn't usually have to do inner healing before he got the miracle. So Father, we're asking that you would avoid all the, or just overrule all the issues, all the demonic, all the curses, all the intimidation and inflicting spirits that are against us. And Daddy, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to visit us, to touch our bodies. And Father, whether it's right now or on our way home, in our car, when we wake up in the morning, Daddy, we're asking for healing to visit every single one of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I was thinking to do for ministry time tonight. I was just feeling we need to be a little upbeat. So do you mind if we do fire tunnels tonight as our way to pray? So can I get our prayer team to come up here? And if there's any of you that serve in our ministry, you're an intercessor, you help on the worship team, you're a cell leader, you're nice. If you'd like to help pray in the fire tunnel, you come on up as well. And we'll have like 15, 20 people. So if you'd like to be a prayer in the fire tunnel, just come on up. So Joan, do you want to get everyone organized? And we'll start over here, folks. We'll get you to go this way through. And you can go through a couple times if you'd like to do that. And here's the deal as well. If you would like to go through and then add on at the end and help pray for people, you're very welcome to do that as well. So Father, we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on us as we receive ministry. Father, bless these hands that are going to be laying hands on people. Spirit of God, come. Bring restoration. Bring hope. Bring healing. Bring the Holy Spirit to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, if you'd like prayer, start here, walk through there. You can join the prayer team at the end if you want and help pray as well, or you can peel around and go through a second time. And here's the rule. You need to keep walking. You cannot stop. If you're stopping, prayer team, just grab them and pull them. Just a slow little walk all the way through. Holy Spirit, come. For those of you at home, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be back next Friday night. We're going to be here Sunday morning. And most of our campuses are in a brand new series called Family. And at the airport campus on Sunday, we're going to be doing part two. Last week, we talked about family means belonging, and this week we're talking about family means sharing. Is it sharing this week or devotion? I think it's devoted to one another is what we're going to be talking about. That part of being a church family means that you're committing yourself to each other, and so we're going to be talking about that at this campus, and most of our other campuses are going to be starting that series or already on number two, or so most of them are in that little series. So anyways, looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. God bless you.